Aloha, and welcome to today's Kupuna. This is our inaugural show on KHVH Talk Radio, and my name is Percy Ihara. So I do want to welcome the audience out there. This is our first show, like I mentioned. We have been on Olelo, Channel 52, for the last year, every Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., and we try to just carry that show over to radio to make it more of an interactive show with our audience out there. Today, we are a live call-in show, and you're more than happy to call in throughout the whole show. Try not to call 5 to 5, so you definitely want to try and call in the next half an hour or so we can get your, if you have any questions, comments, just give us a call. Again, my name is Percy Ihara, and we'll be the host here every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. on AM 830. My guest today, every week we'll have a special guest, and today our guest is Mr. Scott Spallina from the Prosecuting Attorney's Office here. He's a local attorney, and we're going to talk about elder abuse today. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you very much for having me, Percy.
Now, Scott, give our audience so they can get a feel of who you are, how long you've been in the business, and what exactly is the Elder Abuse Justice Center, correct?
Yes, it's the Elder Abuse Justice Unit, and I've been with the prosecutor's office for approximately 13 years, and we started this unit January 1st. This is something that Peter Carlisle has been wanting to start for actually several years. He just got funding to actually have not only a dedicated unit for this, but also dedicated support staff as well. And we started again January 1st, and we're focusing on crimes where the victims are 60 years or over. And unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of those. We saw a lot of those in years past. And when we started focusing on this, and actually when we started working with other agencies, they're coming in.
And so you said it's called the Elder Abuse Justice Center, and it's what, just set up in 2008?
Yes, January 2008. And our goal in this unit, although the prosecutor's office as a whole has been naturally dealing with cases involving the elderly, our goal of this unit is not only to prosecute cases involving people 60 years and over who are the victims, but also to be more collaborative with outside agencies. And we have set up so far an elder abuse task force that includes not only the Office of the Prosecuting Attorney, but Elder Affairs Division and Adult Protective Services.
And with unfortunately, the Elder Affairs Division from City County couldn't make it today, but they'll probably be on next week. But so I understand you meet once a month to kind of go over the cases or what kind of things you see out there in the public?
Yeah, what we're doing is right now we're looking at ourselves. We're looking at how can we make the system better. We don't want to be a system where if someone suspects elder abuse or if someone suspects or needs information about elder abuse, that they get the runaround. That's just unacceptable in this situation here. It takes a lot of courage, unfortunately. It's happening out there. It takes a lot of courage for someone to actually call in and report elder abuse or call in and say, hey, I suspect elder abuse or what is elder abuse? We don't want them to have that courage to call in and then get the runaround, say, call here, call here, mm-hmm. call here, call here. So we're trying to make a team effort.
Well, I congratulate Peter Carlisle for making this a commitment and you, Scott, for being on here. I know it's probably in my experience working with seniors, it's always better to be proactive.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's not something you see around very often today, and I'm glad to see that. So when you talk about elder abuse, can you give our audience an idea what that covers? What, you know, financial,
well,
physical, emotional?
The answer is yes. We are looking at the physical abuse. We're looking at emotional abuse. We're looking at, unfortunately, sexual abuse. We're looking at financial abuse, financial exploitation. Any crime involving the elderly, we're looking at. These are cases that we're vigorously pursuing. Basically, anybody that preys on the elderly, we're coming after.
Okay. And so you meet once a month. So the collaboration is with the city?
We're collaborating with anybody. Okay. And when I say that is we've gone to, let's say, the Blaisdell Expo. They had a health fair, and we set up a table there. We're answering questions to anybody that wanted to come in here. We've been going out to the community. We have presentations. I've given like maybe a dozen or so presentations so far. Anything from the medical school at UH to community services. I'm giving one at a Kaimakee women's group next week, I believe. And we're there just to raise awareness. That's how actually we got hooked up together doing your show, Today's Kupuna, and that was a great avenue to do that over on Olelo, and I'm glad that you have this one show, this radio show, so I can come and talk again.
Well, one of the funny stories, I realized some of them are our senior friends did not have cable. So I had to find another way to get the information, your great information, to them, and I felt radio's the best. AM Talk Radio, you know, can give us a call anytime during this hour. Scott, tell us really, why do you think there's such an increase in abuse against seniors today?
See, I don't know if it's an increase in abuse. It's just that this is a crime that's always been there, that's never been reported. Mm. And when you raise awareness, when you give people the means, the opportunity, the knowledge that you can report this, this is who you report it to, then they realize that, hey, this is a crime. I should not have to be berated. I should not have to be physically hit by my, let's say, adult child. I should not have to be threatened and live this way because this is a crime. The person that's taking money from my account illegally, let's say the granddaughter that's stealing checks to support a drug habit, and so she's taking money from the grandmother, that is a crime. And when we tell people this, when we give them the courage to say, hey, you can report this, you can stop this, sometimes it comes down to tough love and that they don't want to get their own family in trouble. But then they realize that the family members are using this money for, let's say, drugs or using for other illegal activities. And then they realize, well, if I stop it now, then in the future that person will not go down a certain road.
Well, being in the mortgage business, I do see, you know, with our higher values in Hawaii, sometimes the kids want to get a power of attorney, take the property over, or maybe refinance their property and use it to buy drugs or start their own little business that may fail after a year. But I think a lot of it with real estate, people have, our seniors today have a lot of money.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And that's why victims of elder abuse are targeted, because they have greater assets. You're not going to target, let's say, a young couple just starting out, just getting their first house or they're renting and everything like that, because they don't have the assets. They can barely afford to live here in Hawaii, whereas you get someone that's been here for 80 years that has equity in their house, that have nice possessions in their house, mm-hmm. that given themselves, let's say, a big screen TV for a retirement gift or something like that, then they have those assets, and that unfortunately makes them a target.
Where does elder abuse occur, Scott?
It occurs everywhere. Well, okay, let me ask you this one question. Where are elders?
I mean, most times they're home.
But they're in their home. They're in the community. They're volunteering at places like that. They're taking the bus. They're taking the handy van. Anywhere that there's elders, there's a potential for abuse. And unfortunately, we have seen abuse everywhere. We've seen abuse when they go to the doctor. We have seen abuse in the home. And unfortunately, you did bring up a good point about them being in the home. The perpetrators of elder abuse are going to oftentimes be family members, because they know the routine. They're taking care of, let's say, their grandmother or their aged parent or their aunt or uncle. And sometimes the temptation is too great, and then they might think, well, maybe I'm owed this piece of jewelry. She's going to give it to me maybe after she died.
This Saturday and every Saturday, join host Percy Ehala, a senior advocate who has over 17 years of experience as a mortgage professional, with today's Kupuna, a weekly series focusing on important issues facing seniors and their families. Get involved. Share your thoughts. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands at 1-888-565-8383. It's today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH. Don't miss it.
Every day, caregivers of Alzheimer's patients are searching for answers to questions like,
how important is it to keep my mother on a regular schedule?
Why does my grandfather sometimes forget who I am?
My wife is becoming confused. What can I do to help her?
Go to ahaf.org/questions or call 1-800-437-2423. Find answers to real-life questions from Alzheimer's disease research.
Psst. Hey, you with the rumbling tummy. What's for dinner tonight? My name's Sat, short for saturated fat. And I love it when you eat the foods I'm in, like cheeseburgers and pizza.
Move over, brother. I'm trans, the bad fat you've seen in the news. Might I tempt you with some crispy fried chicken and fluffy biscuits?
Come on, get into your cravings.
We can't wait to raise your bad cholesterol.
And clog up your arteries.
The Bad Fats Brothers. Don't let them break your heart. Learn more at AmericanHeart.org/facethefats.
Is that my music? Welcome back to today's Kupuna. and today's Kupuna Radio. And I'm here with Scott Spilina from the Prosecutor Attorney's Office. If you have any questions about elder abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, give us a call. Here on Oahu, the number is 521-8383. And we're statewide, and the toll-free number for that is very easy as well. It's 888-565-8383. Welcome back again.
Thank you, Percy.
Scott, yes, I wanted to get more into when we were talking about earlier about elder abuse. Sometimes people don't, seniors don't even think of that as elder abuse, yeah? Any stories for us?
You're right. Well, the only stories I can think of at the top of my head is pretty obvious that it would be elder abuse. And let's say the adult child. And unfortunately, when I say the adult child, that happens a lot. That's one of our, unfortunately, most common things. The adult child is yelling at the aged parent, the senior parent or grandparent, maybe saying, like, one day I'm going to get you, or basically frustrated of his own living situation. Typically, these people may not have jobs. They're living at home. They might be divorced. They might have a drug problem, an alcohol problem. And it's just an explosive situation because they are living in their parents' home, and yet they're not respecting their parents. They think that, okay, I have to live here. It's my home. I don't have to abide by any rules. And yet when they're playing the music, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the parent comes to say, turn down, you're interrupting my neighbors, and stuff like that, then we'll get an explosion. We'll get them doing physical harm. We had a trial last year where this adult son basically beat his mom and threatened to kill her because she did not clean up the bathroom good enough for him.
Wow.
And she, as a result of that, she had a broken orbital in her eyeball, in the skull there, and that he came to trial. He was given a right to a trial. He went to trial, and he said, oh, it was an accident. Even though when the police arrived there, they saw this 69-year-old woman climbing out the window of her bedroom to escape him.
Wow.
And yet he's still stuck with, oh, it was an accident, I didn't mean to do that, I just bumped into her. Even though she had multiple bruises on her face, she had a bump to her head. And unfortunately, the jury saw through his story and convicted him, and now he has a roommate named Bubba up in Jalapa. And so I'm very happy about that.
Well, I really hope that doesn't happen too often, but I know it's there. I think substance abuse has a lot to do with it, the drugs and the alcohol thing.
You're absolutely right. And you always hear Peter, sometimes they call Peter Carlisle Mr. Ice, because he's always talking about the evils of drug abuse on this island here. And it is evil. It's basically a domino effect. I've been with the office for about 13 years. 12 of those years, I was doing domestic violence work. And I would say well over half of my cases involving domestic violence involve some sort of ice use, whether it be the person that is addicted to this drug or basically using it by choice and doing stupid, dangerous, aggressive things that result in someone being harmed. Now, this drug is not free. They have to steal for it. If you're addicted to this drug, if you're on this drug, you probably don't have a job. And where are you going to get the money from? Where are you going to get it from the people that have the most assets? And who are those people? Your parents.
Huh. Well, we do see a lot of the sons or daughters living with mom and dad, not working. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you drive down your street, you see kids during the daytime, or adult kids not working, and live with mom and dad, and they feel they can do whatever they want to do. You know?
Well, unfortunately, the cost of living here in Hawaii is so expensive.
Yes.
So it's not a crime to stay with your folks as you grow old, because we have these multi-generational homes. Mm-hmm. The dangerousness is when you have the adult children living there that basically are not taking responsibility for themselves, are still relying at age 30, at age 40, still relying on their mom and dad to take care of everything. If they're not paying their own bills or like that, it's basically sometimes you have to take a look at these people and say, grow up. You have these people that are victims oftentimes are the sweetest people in the world. Their only sin, I should say, is spoiling their children. And they'll basically say, oh, well, he hit me in the past, but I didn't report it. Or he took this amount of money, and I didn't report it. I didn't want to give him trouble. They get him in trouble. And they know, the perpetrators of these crimes know, that they have an easy mark in their mom and dad. And so where it comes time for trial, oftentimes these victims do not want to testify against their family because they're afraid that something bad will happen to them in prison.
Right.
They're afraid that they're going to get in trouble or whatever like that. not realizing that they're basically enabling their own children to be criminals. And that's what they are. This is a crime. Elder abuse is a crime. And it is happening.
And it's not reported as much as we would like to as well.
And that's the scary part, is that with the senior population we have in Oahu, and you should know this given your line of work, we have a huge amount of population here that's age 60 and above, and yet the cases we're getting is only a trickle right now because they're not being reported. We can handle easily the cases coming in. We're afraid of all the cases that are not being reported, and that's one of the goals that we set out for ourselves, is to raise community awareness about this crime.
Well, it is a big crime. I see a lot more financial abuse. So, Scott, in terms of financial abuse, you talk about mismanaged money, assets from the property. What are the kind of scenarios that you see out there regarding the financial abuse?
Well, it could be anything simple from gaining a power of attorney and then slowly draining, let's say, the bank accounts. And then they might at first start justifying themselves by saying, oh, I need this. I need a better car to take grandma to the grocery store or whatever like that. And then you find out that they buy, like, the Ford Escalade or whatever like that. And they don't need the spinners on the car to take grandma to the grocery store. It might start off small, like take a little piece of jewelry here, a little thing there. And that's one thing we see with a lot of caregiver scenarios, is that it might start out small. And then we have thousands of dollars being replaced. And that's outright theft. Then what we have is, let's say, someone ingratiating themselves, like a neighbor, a friend, a caregiver, ingratiating themselves into the family, exercising undue influence to where all of a sudden you have caregiver who later on gets the power of attorney or gets these gifts or moves in, and then they move in with their family. Mm-hmm. And you take the senior father who's living alone because, let's say, the children are on the outer island or on the mainland like that, and who's he going to rely on but this caregiver? And that's one of the reasons that these type of abuses go unreported, because the victims of these crimes oftentimes are relying on the perpetrator for their own care.
Yeah. Well, I was speaking to a group, and if they're listening out there, for the National Active Retired Federal Employees group there in Kalihi, I was speaking to them this morning. I was talking about aging in place, and that's one of the things that we're going to find, I really think it's going to increase, is as more and more we're going to be dependent on our children to take care of us. You will start to find that, I've had experience myself with children using the power of attorney. I've had situations where they will gain control of the property and their brothers and sisters don't know that. You know, so by having you here, I really appreciate you, because we'll have to come back and try to do a follow-up. But what are some of the tips they can do to protect themselves?
Well, basically, they need to know where their money is at all the time. They actually need to be aware of how much money they have in their account, which checks they're using. Because if you're careless about your money management, that's basically inviting someone to take advantage of you. And it's not only the people in your home, but let's say the bank. And unfortunately, we've had some high pub cases in the past years where, let's say, bank employees might take advantage of their own customers. And so you're wondering, like, who can I trust? Well, you can trust yourself. You can trust yourself to know how much money you deposited and how much you should have. They sell these shredders at Home Depot, Office Max, or at that. Shred your credit card receipts, shred important documents so that people cannot go through and open up accounts for you.
Cancel all the credit cards they're not using.
Exactly.
You don't need all five or six or seven credit cards.
Exactly. You're 100% right about that. I mean, we get so much junk mail in there, and everybody wants you to be in debt, so they give you all these free credit cards because then they get to collect interest on those.
What about, would you encourage or the children to be on their parents' checking accounts? I see a lot of that as well.
Yeah, and again, I get into this argument, or I guess debate with my wife, because of the types of crimes that I've done, I don't trust anybody. And anything from enrolling our child into summer fun, I say, oh, no, there's going to be abusers over there and stuff like that. My wife thinks I've been working too hard, and I see a criminal and everything. So I don't want to say to your audience out there, don't trust your own children. Because realistically, the logistics of things, the children do have to help their parents. And I can't advocate don't do that like that. It's just that trust your children, but also know, you have to be Akamai. You just have to know what's going on out there.
Yeah. Some of the signs of what do you call it, undue influence. We see a lot as well, a lot of isolation.
Exactly, because if you isolate somebody from family and friends, then that victim becomes more dependent on the person taking advantage of them. So let's say that you see grandma or you see auntie for a number of years going to the same events, and then all of a sudden auntie doesn't show up to the birthday parties, or auntie doesn't show up to the fundraiser, and auntie doesn't show up to the Christmas parties. You have to start asking yourself, why isn't auntie coming here like that?
Sure.
And then, or why is the caregiver, whether it be family member or hired caregiver, why doesn't the caregiver ever leave auntie's presence while you're there? Or why doesn't the caregiver let you come over anytime you want to the home? Or why does the caregiver always answer the phone or answer questions for auntie? And it's basically an isolationism. And when you see someone, when you see a neighbor being isolated, when you see a family member being isolated, that's one of the key warning signs, because with isolation comes manipulation.
Yeah, so we're going to cover the in the latter half of the hour some of the other preventive measures and also the process to when you have a complaint, because I understand you're working with a city, and so you'll be able to call on your city number. They have a senior helpline in the City and County's Elderly Affairs Division. That number is 768-7700. And Scott, well, at this time, why don't you go ahead and give me the office for them to call you at.
Okay, and it's actually good timing because we just got our new phone number 2 days ago. So I'm glad the show didn't air last week. Let's see, our new Elder Abuse Justice line is 768-7536.
Okay, and today's Kupuna, you can email us as well with any questions or comments. It's todayskupuna@hotmail.com. And so if you email me, I'll get that here on the show. Again, if you have any questions to call in regarding any elder abuse issues or any other issues regarding seniors, we have a list of numbers you can call us. So the telephone number here is at 521-8383. And the toll-free number statewide is 888-565-8383. Again, this is Percy Ihara with Today's Kupuna on Radio KHVH AM 830.
From the Clear Channel News Center, I'm Linda Dela Cruz. Residents of central Kansas are cleaning up from a series of storms that produced heavy rain, strong winds, large hail, and spawned several tornadoes last night. In Barton County, the National Weather Service reports a tornado lifted a house off of its foundation and destroyed a barn and garage. Storm chaser William Hart says one person was caught in the storm.
There was certainly ample warning on the storms. On that particular tornado, as it crossed the road, and I didn't find out this till later, it swept a car off the road into the ditch.
Cooler, calmer weather is helping firefighters battling a wildfire in California's Santa Cruz Mountains that has displaced hundreds of people. The containment effort is expected to continue through the weekend, as is the smoky haze over San Francisco Bay. Here at home, one person was killed in a single car crash in Haleiwa this morning. It happened at about 5:15 a.m. on Kamehameha Highway near the surf spot known as Leftovers near Waimea. Police shut down the area for an investigation and reopened the highway before 10 this morning. State Senator Ron Manor was sent to jail to serve a 48-hour sentence yesterday after pleading no contest to a drunken driving charge. He was pulled over April 27 on the H-1 freeway in Honolulu for driving too slowly. He failed a breathalyzer test. He refused to take a field sobriety test, saying his single outdated contact lens was giving him problems and he had a fractured foot that made it hard to walk. Taking a look at our island weather, we have clear skies with a daytime high of 87 and overnight low of 71. Winds will be coming in from the east at 15 miles per hour, gusting all the way up to 22 miles per hour. Tomorrow it's going to be partly cloudy with isolated showers and a daytime high near 86 degrees. I'm Linda Dela Cruz in the Clear Channel News Center.
This Saturday and every Saturday, join host Percy Ihara, a senior advocate who has over 17 years of experience as a mortgage professional, with Today's Kupuna, a weekly series focusing on important issues facing seniors and their families. Get involved. Share your thoughts. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands at 1-888-565-8383. It's Today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH. Don't miss it.
Aloha, this is Brian Schatz, Executive Director of Helping Hands Hawaii, one of Oahu's largest social service agencies. We help hundreds of moms every month with diapers, beds, bus passes, desks, chairs, and whatever they need to keep their families together and their lives in order. We need your help. Please call the Helping Hands Community Clearinghouse if you have a household item to give away. We'll even come to pick it up. Call us at 536-7234 or visit helpinghandshawaii.org. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Patrick Dempsey, and I know firsthand how dealing with cancer can impact someone's life. My mother is a two-time ovarian cancer survivor. That is why I support Breakaway from Cancer, an initiative that supports the services of two nonprofit organizations, the Wellness Community and the National Coalition for Cancer Survivorship, making support, education, and hope available to everyone. One person alone does not beat cancer. Visit breakawayfromcancer.com and connect to a variety of free services and programs. A public service from Breakaway from Cancer.
Welcome back to today's Kupuna on Radio KHVH AM 830. And the reason why I say that for our audience out there is that today's Kupuna is actually on television every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on Olelo's Channel 52. And we've been running that, gosh, probably about a year now, and we will continue to run that. So for our audience out there that watches our television show, same format, however, you'll be able to see us in person. And actually, Scott will be on, I believe, the next couple of weeks talking about elder abuse. Scott Spolina from the Prosecutor Attorney's Office. Scott, we're talking about elder abuse. Let's try and talk about now about physical abuse that you see out there and some of the things that you see, but also we also want to cover some of the signs that you see out there and also the preventative stuff.
Okay. When we talk about preventative stuff, it's basically being aware of who the potential victims could be. And obviously when you see someone in your neighborhood that's a certain age, then that would tip you off, say, okay, that could be a potential victim. Someone doesn't have a lot of family contact. If someone is more isolated, whether it be just living alone or down the end of the street, doesn't get much traffic, that's somebody that you should be aware of, because unfortunately, this is a problem that's so grossly unreported that we all need to come together.
Yes.
And help each other out. I mean, we are this big Ohana family here of Hawaiian, people in Hawaii, and we do need to help out the people that cannot help themselves. We equate oftentimes elder abuse with child abuse. And child abuse, you have an infant that can't help themselves. And yet everybody's so willing to rally around an infant that's being abused. The same attitude needs to be needs to be gained through elder abuse. We need to get that same attitude with that we have for child abuse to elder abuse. With respect to some of the signs of elder abuse, you're going to see these signs anywhere you see elders. You're going to maybe have unexplained bruising or welts. You're going to have pinch marks, because that's one way to, let's say, punish an elder in a care home facility, is like grab them maybe under the arms. Anywhere to cause pain, that's what these perpetrators are doing. You're going to have injuries that reflect maybe an outline of an object used on them. We've had belt buckle imprints. We've had slipper imprints on, let's say, the back of the leg, where you can, if you take a picture of it, after the police are involved, you can actually see the imprint of an object being used.
Jeez.
And this is perhaps one of the reasons that these crimes go unreported, because no one likes to think about these crimes. Yet, this is something that perhaps you don't want to talk around the dinner table, and that's what my wife tells me all the time, is that, okay, maybe you shouldn't talk about your work when we go out tonight, because you're going to depress everybody there. She liked it better when I was doing the prostitution stings down in Waikiki. That's something that everybody wants to talk about, and that's kind of juicy. But now that I'm doing elder abuse, all of a sudden we don't get that many invitations to dinner parties. But maybe it's me. With respect to, let's say, the clothes being torn or not being kept up, we have also home in disrepair. Why is, ask yourself this, if let's say you have a neighbor across the street that worked in her garden all the time, and then all of a sudden you start noticing that there's a lot of weeds in the yard, in her beautiful garden, you notice that the yard is being not kept up, and this is something that she took great pride in, that should tell you, A, that she has, there's something going on there. And as a neighbor, you kind of owe it to yourself, because you would want, think about this, if your parent lived away from you and they were being abused by a caregiver, you would want the neighbors to be kind of akamai and kind of be aware, because we all have to look after each other. That's just the bottom line. We all have to look after each other.
Yeah, I see sometimes where the kids are in for a week to check up on dad, and they got to do this and this and this, and they ask you how things going, but I have to go back tomorrow. Can we hire up and, you know, getting their trust or the power of attorney or the medical directive? And it's amazes to me where the children in mainland don't be more proactive. And so I'm glad you're here to be proactive regarding this physical and emotional and financial abuse out there.
Yeah, and even though Peter Carlisle has dedicated this team to doing it, we realize that we cannot do this alone.
Right.
I mean, we need everybody. We need the police involved. We need people like you that are, we call you the gatekeepers. We call you the frontline individuals, because you're going to see it way before we ever see it. We're at the tail end of the whole parade. You're going to be one of our people that are going to be, I mean, we're educating you, believe it or not.
I'm educated right now. I'm scaring you a little, Scott.
I'm sorry.
It's reality out there, because we do see that things. And since I'm talking about that, Adult Protective Services, for the state of Hawaii under the Department of Human Services, you can give them a call if people suspect anything, whether it's a neighbor or a member of church or even your brother or parent. Their number is 832-5115. Again, that number is 832-5115, and that's the intake unit. Well, kind of, you call them up and say you have this situation, and figure out, they'll send an investigator out there, because I've actually used them myself, where I've seen cases where somebody was using a power attorney and the mom was totally competent.
Yeah, and people don't like to pick up the phone and kind of like tattle on other people.
That's
like
local
that.
Local style, though.
Yeah, the thing is, though, the harm that's being done out there, you just kind of have to get up there and take a step. Pick up that telephone call. If you suspect that abuse is going on right now, either call up APS. They have some fantastic people over at Adult Protective Services. If you feel that harm is imminent, call 911. And people often think, even my wife, she thinks, like, oh, I don't want to get HPD involved and stuff like that. HPD is there, and HPD has some terrific people there, and HPD does not mind getting called out there. That is their job, and they would actually prefer that we call them at the front end than waiting for a major crime to go down, waiting for this, and then they have to open up, a felony investigation when we could have stopped it at the very beginning kind of thing.
Right. Do you folks take care of the nursing homes or the care homes out there that you see some of the abuse over there?
Fortunately, we have some terrific people at the Attorney General's office. They have the Medicaid Investigation Division, the MID Division, and you have some great people over there. And coincidentally, all those people used to be with our office, prosecutors. That's how I can tell you that they're some really great people over there. But no, Mark Bennett, though, has dedicated a lot of resources to the MID Division, Medicaid Investigation Division, and they have their own investigators that actually go out. And not only do they investigate, let's say, fraud with respect to Medicare and Medicaid, and that's basically making sure that doctors don't overcharge or rip off the patients or rip off the government that way, but also they do a lot of patient and nursing home abuse. And their nexus being is that if they're receiving income from, let's say, the state or government agencies, then basically MID can go in there and investigate. And again, they've done a terrific job with the resources that they have.
You have here, I was reading this, your little thing here, emotional abuse out there. You must see a lot of that.
It is. And believe it or not, emotional abuse is a crime. It's under the law, and naturally when you get lawyers involved in writing the law, they're going to write it to where maybe the average person doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. But we call that terroristic threatening. Terroristic threatening is basically threatening somebody that to the point that someone might think that they're going to get hurt.
Right.
And I'm not talking about just the obvious threat of I'm going to kill you. It could just be cocking back your fist and making believe, like false crack, or making believe that you're going to actually hit somebody. That is a crime, because if someone did that to you and you think that you're actually going to get hit, that is a crime, and that's not allowed.
And that's a felony?
Well, it depends on what they do. If they do it more than once, it is a felony. And then we can lock someone up for up to 5 years, or in the minimum, we can give them probation. Now, I don't know what the terms and conditions of probation would be. They have to stay arrest and conviction free, that they would have to stay off alcohol. They would have to stay away from drugs. And so probation is not a bad thing. A lot of people, when they call the police, when they call the police to report a crime, they think, oh, I don't want to do it because I don't want them to be locked up in Halava and not my little boy or not my little grandson, stuff like that. But prison is one of the last steps that the criminal justice system takes. Usually they start off with, let's say, probation, and probation is checking in, doing random urinalysis testing, paying for any sort of fines, fees, restitution. That's always good. And basically staying off drugs. That's the main thing, as we talked about earlier.
I'm reading this list of signs of possible emotional abuse. You have elder is confused, elder seems frightened, hesitant to talk freely. Those are really good signs. Elders withdrawn, or they must be when they see their family members. There must be a reason why.
Yeah, I mean, we equate oftentimes elder abuse with domestic violence. And in our typical domestic violence scenario, no one likes to talk about it. The victims don't like to talk about it. We had a situation where we had an elder abuse case where the perpetrator abused the mother, who was, I want to say, 75, and no one in the family wanted to make a police report because this abuser ran the family business. And it was tragic, and no one wanted to come forth and help in the investigation. Fortunately, we had some really Akamai ambulance people, EMS people come in, and they reported it and everything. And so we were able to build the case off of what the ambulance people, because unfortunately this person had to go to the hospital because they were abused so badly. Mm-hmm. But it was a shame because the victim didn't want to report it, and the eyewitness father didn't want to report it, and the sibling didn't want to report it. And so it was just tragic because everybody was dependent on the abuser for supporting the family. And mm-hmm. so it was a bad situation all the way around.
So what happens in those kind of situations?
What happens is that we investigate the case. If that person, and actually this the victim in this case, was somewhat incompetent, so we could take her out of the abusive situation there. We could put her in a facility, or actually as a home, and just basically the family lost their right to have that person in their household. That's what it came down to. And a lot of people think, oh, that's so harsh to separate the family, so like that. No, we're making people safe. We're taking a victim out of a situation where she's being victimized repeatedly. And you might want to say it's Big Brother and stuff like that. We look at this as, let's say, how CPS would take a child that's being abused out of a situation like that. Mm-hmm. We have to be proactive because to stop an abuser, you need proactive actions.
Again, this is today's Kupuna Radio on KHVH AM 830. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. And you can give us a call. This is a live call-in show. So you can give us a call here on Oahu. It's 521-8383. And toll-free statewide, which is 888-565-8383. And we're going to go to a quick break.
Every day, caregivers of Alzheimer's patients are searching for answers to questions like,
how important is it to keep my mother on a regular schedule?
Why does my grandfather sometimes forget who I am?
My wife is becoming confused. What can I do to help her?
Go to ahaf.org/questions or call 1-800-437-2423. Find answers to real-life questions from Alzheimer's disease research.
This Saturday and every Saturday, join host Percy Ihara, a senior advocate who has over 17 years of experience as a mortgage professional, with Today's Kupuna, a weekly series focusing on important issues facing seniors and their families. Get involved. Share your thoughts. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands at 1-888-565-8383. It's Today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH. Don't miss it.
Welcome back. This is today's Kupuna Radio. As we mentioned to you earlier, that our television show is on Olelo, Channel 52, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. There's a live, it's a taped show on Olelo where you can see us and you'll be able to see the interviewer. Scott will be on in a couple of weeks on Channel 52, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. But we are here every Saturday afternoon. This is our first show, so Scott, we'll have to have you back. Give us a call, and we're going to be here for a few more minutes, but the number is 521-8383. Scott, we want to finish up with one last area of abuse, and that's neglect.
Yeah, and that's something that we're seeing a lot of, and that's probably one of the more, unfortunately, underreported type of crimes, because when you're talking about neglect, oftentimes you have victims that don't have the mental faculties to help themselves. And we're dealing with anything from dementia or severe stroke victims to where basically they are in a home by themselves, and maybe people don't realize that they're either there or they're not being taken care of adequately.
Mm-hmm. So do you see much of that growing, though? I mean, because of aging in place is such a big issue today when, with regard to if you're going to live longer. I was listening to Social Security speak about a few weeks ago, and they said if you're a couple, if you're both over 62, one of you have a 50% chance of living to 92. So if you're 92, how old are your son or daughter, the caregiver, going to be? And they're going to be living with you?
Exactly. I mean, you don't want to say that the caregiver one day is going to be needing care themselves, and so you're going to have it. But I had a situation earlier where you had someone that was, I think, like 89 years old, and the caregiver was, I think, in the late 60s, like that. And it was just a situation where you're wondering, okay, who needs the care more? And and these caregivers, I mean, they have to knock themselves out. I mean, when we're talking about neglect, fortunately, not a lot of it is like criminal intent neglect. It's just basically a caregiver that's being overwhelmed. And one of the great things about living here in Hawaii is that there's so many resources out there. You have Helping Hands Hawaii, which I believe was mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. You have Adult Protective Services. The people at Adult Protective Services, they're not there to solely investigate crimes. They are there to help people that need help. And some of that help might be a caregiver that just doesn't know who to turn to.
Right.
And I'm not here to say, okay, all neglect, all this is a crime. No, it's part of just being aware that sometimes we get in a situation where we find ourselves caring for someone that does need help and not having the skills, not having the knowledge to properly care for that individual.
So your Elder Abuse Justice Center, they give you a call, the process basically, or if they think or think something's going on with a neighbor or their brother or sister or aunt or uncle, and so either they call your office or they call the city and county's office, correct?
Well, I mean, one thing is we can handle, let's say, maybe general questions about elder abuse. If you're wanting to actually report an elder abuse case, then I would suggest calling the number you gave earlier with respect to Adult Protective Services. Because they are going to be one of the frontline people to actually investigate the case. We give out presentation. We have knowledge. If someone suspects a crime and perhaps for some reason or another they don't want to go through APS or it's a financial exploitation type of situation, they can give me a call at our Elder Abuse Justice Line number, which is our new brand new number is the 768-7536 number. And again, we do not only radio shows with personalities like yourself, but we do a lot of the community public
right.
engagements there.
Yeah, so if you have a church group or a retired association or a union, you can give us a call here at today's Kupuna. Our number is 946-3888. We're on the show every Saturday at 4 to 5 p.m. Or the Senior Helpline, which is from the Elderly Affairs Division, and their number is 768-7700. So, Scott, any last comments before we finish up here?
Well, again, elder abuse is a crime, and it's a crime that's happening in Hawaii, and it's a crime that we all must work together to stop.
Good. And so I think we're going to try and get you scheduled in about another month to cover more financial abuse, because what I see a lot of that today is just a growing amount, like I said, regard to real estate.
Exactly.
We have some of the highest average home values, and a lot of our, the greatest generation, I call it, our senior parents, have a lot of equity built up. I did want to take this time to thank our Today's Kupuna show crew. our crew is on Olelo there. We have a number of volunteers, and I didn't want to mention their names to thank them. Our producer of the show on today's Kupuna, which is airs every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. on Channel 52, our producer is Maria Spiritu. Our director is Wyatt Hine. Our camera people is Francis Shirota, Shanti Mizuno, Shasta Yamada, Van Tran, Trevor Craig, Paul John Isagawa, Paul Park, and Karen Yamamoto. So I do want to thank them because this radio show is actually an outpouring of our TV show, and we wanted to bring more information out to the public, like having you here, Scott. But I do want to thank our volunteers over there. We tape over at Olelo's Palolo Media Center, and I did want to thank the crew over there, and especially Yvonne Williams, who is the director of the Olelo studio over there. Scott, any last comments?
No, again, thank you, Percy, for giving me the opportunity, actually the prosecutor's office, the opportunity to raise awareness of this very important topic.
Yeah. You know, elder abuse in Hawaii is just a growing, as you talked about, Scott, that's the reason why you started this, is a growing, growing need. And I think it's something that, from my point of view, I see it day to day. I'm on the front lines. I work with seniors in a great deal. I speak at a number of senior centers, senior clubs, and we just hear more of that. Can I get one tip from a financial point of view? Because I see so much financial, not fraud, but I would say more so taking the checkbooks, the property. Is there any one thing that you see coming up, though?
We see change in pattern. That's the one thing. If someone constantly does their banking every Monday at the first of the month, and all of a sudden now they're coming in throughout the month, that's a change in pattern which highlights that for some reason they're needing more money, which typically for the past 3, 4, 5 years, they've never needed this much money before. All of a sudden you have large withdrawals, unexplained withdrawals. It all comes down to a change in pattern. All of a sudden these gifts or these loans to people that they should not give, like the cleaning lady, $20,000. And we're talking substantial amounts of money. Oh, I had this one case where we had a hairdresser that got paid in excess of $100,000. Now, the explanation was, oh, she can get free facials the rest of her life, but I mean at 79 years old, she's not going to be able to use $100,000 worth of free facials in her entire life. Basically, it's someone using their relationship, using the trust that they've built with somebody, and then taking advantage of that trust. You just have to, we don't live in the world that perhaps the world was 40 years ago or 20 years ago. We cannot be blindly trusting each other, unfortunately. We have to be a little more Akamai. And I hate to like be an alarmist and say everybody's a criminal and everything like that, but we have to use common sense, and we just have to be aware of what's going on these days, because the times that our parents, the times that our grandparents used to live in, those times, unfortunately, are gone. We have crimes going on now that were impossible back then. We have people that attitude change, where they feel that they have a sense of entitlement now, where they didn't feel it back then. This is a generation that we're trying to protect. This is a generation that got us through World War II. This is a generation that fought for us, fought for our freedoms that we're enjoying now. This is a generation that needs us now to protect them, because they spent their whole life protecting us, raising us, teaching us values, and we need to come together and protect them.
Yeah, that generation was coined called the Greatest Generation. Tom Brokaw, I believe the NBC commentator, coined that phrase several years ago, and actually wrote a book. If you get a chance to go to one of the bookstores, called The Greatest Generation. And actually, when I read that book, I was quite surprised, and quite happily surprised, that one of the people that they talked to and interviewed was Danny Noy.
Oh, wow.
Senator Danny Noy. Because, I was talking to the NARC group this morning. The Greatest Generation is a generation, like you said, grew up with the war, depression, black and white TV, or maybe no TV, walking to school miles at a time. And people tell these stories, well, that actually did happen. My father grew up on a Big Island, my mother in Maui, and I know the times that they had were more difficult than today. They grew up with, you know, protecting their family name and caring for their parents. I was talking to the group this morning. So how many people took care of their parents? A few of them did. And the reason why they took care of their parents? Because it's an obligation, and that's just the way it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we have the baby boomers, my generation, probably your generation. What are the characteristics of a baby boomer? Well, they like to work hard, but they like to play hard. like spend money. They don't save money. And sometimes I get a feeling from my clients that they're obligated to give their, required to give their kids an inheritance, and they don't need to earn it. They just need to be alive and get it and outlive their parents, you know.
And that's what it comes down to, especially when you're dealing with real estate as your area of expertise, is that you probably see that a lot, where people, unfortunately, are viewing their parents as their own trust fund. They're viewing their parents as their own retirement instead of putting, instead of being responsible themselves. They're still relying on their parents.
Well, we do see a lot of our clients' children moving back home, maybe after a divorce or moving back from the mainland, not working, and they say, "Well, Dad, I'll take care of you." But we'll see sometimes, well, I get the house, right? And we'll see that. It's like, it's a hard decision. I was meeting with a client this afternoon, you know, 8 children. Who do you leave the house to? And that's where we see a lot more financial abuse. A lot of times, you know, well, you take care of me, Scott, and you will get the house, but don't tell your brothers and sisters.
Yeah, and then you have all this pilakia later on down the line when your brothers and sisters realize that, hey, wait a minute, now I deserve this because I'm the oldest son, or I deserve this because I took care of you during this, or I didn't get a house like everybody else got a house. And it's all about me, 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 me. And unfortunately, they sound like spoiled brats.
Yeah.
And they want it. And they get into this mindset, it's all about me, it's all about me. And then they feel entitled to the assets that their parents worked a lifetime for.
Well, I always tell this story. You know, here's today, open your right arm and put it out to the far out the right. That's when you're no longer around, when you pass on. But you got to get there, and I'm going to talk about this issue later on. It's about the long-term care issue and aging in place. Is that, you know, kids won't get anything until you're gone, but what happens in the meantime? I've seen situations where you said the oldest son gets the house, but then everybody else says, okay, you get the house. Scott, you take care of Dad. You take care of Mom. I'll see you later. And it's unfortunate that we do see that. Scott, we've got less than a minute here. Your phone number again for the prosecuting attorney's office?
Yes, it's 768-7536. Again, that's 768-7536.
And thanks again, Scott. We'll have to have you on again. I did want to close with a few phone numbers for you. We definitely want to be a resource for the community out there, whether it's for yourself or for your kids or for your parents. The Kauai Agency Elderly Affairs Division on Kauai, their number over there on Kauai, free post there, it's 241-4470. The Hawaii County on Aging, their number is 961-8600, and on Maui is 270-7755. Again, this is Percy E. Howard with today's Kupuna. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.